You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Frames Per Second Podcast.
I told you that I want to go to that festival in Sweden.
No, you said it would be cool to go.
Yeah, and then I got the opportunity and I decided
to
do it.
I don't mind you going. I just wish you would have told me. That's all.
Dude, she needs a therapist. You've been wanting out of this stupid relationship for like a year now.
And don't forget about all of the beautiful Swedish women you'll meet in June.
Okay, guys.
That's not her again. Seriously?
Babe, what's happening? Danny.
I was so very sorry to hear about what happened.
I'm sorry.
I invited Danny to come to Sweden.
You know what she's been going through.
Christian says you've got this special week planned.
It's sort of a crazy festival. Special ceremonies and dressing up.
That sounds fun.
Unbelievable.
Welcome and happy midsummer.
What's going on? It's your boy Nikki Duse, a.k.a. Mr. No Disrespect. And you're now tuned into the Frames Per Second Podcast. In this episode, we're having a conversation, not a slight review conversation about Midsommar, the A24 hit movie from last year, 2019. I recently just saw it with my homies this past weekend, and yeah, I got Mike and Ken joining me for this conversation because I need an explanation for it.
So before you get into your questions, Mike, did you review this on your channel?
No.
Okay.
Wait, did I?
Okay.
You had it on your list.
I know it was on your list because I saw a lot of people talking to you about it and you tweeting about it on Twitter.
And they asked us to review it a lot. Like, yeah, that was one of the main ones.
Yeah.
It was because people were confused because on my video, I did a fake out where, you know, I made it seem like my number one film of the year was Rise of Skywalker.
Oh.
And a lot of fucking dumbasses believed it. Because they turned the video off at that point and they were just like, I can't believe you didn't have Midsommar on your fucking list.
Mm. Like, well, oh, okay, so that's you. Should I tell them, guys? Okay,
right, okay. Right. But yeah, no, there's no review. So
it was. I just bought it. I bought this and The Lighthouse, and it was something else on iTunes last week. They were on sale, and I went ahead and copped them. So it was interesting that you finally just getting around to watching it.
Because where I work at, they have like DVDs and stuff, and they usually keep a good supply of like what recently released. So let me just check it out. Mike, we talked about doing a review of a movie that one of us recommends, and I was like, Mike been talking about this movie. Let me check it out.
But I told you weren't going to like it before you went and saw it.
You say that about a lot of movies.
Yeah, because I know. You're not going to like no damn Midsommar.
It was just like, because the beginning got me. I liked it. From the beginning, I was like, I liked the setup. I thought the setup was just very like, stereotypical horror style, you know, and then the way with the seeing her sister killed her parents and all that stuff, that was dope. Cause like that phone call using her parents is like ignoring her.
Yeah,
it was just a great setup, and then we find out like she's like, she's more into the relationship than he is, and how does that play out as far as her boyfriend? So we get my issues when we get to Sweden, and I did like
Harga.
I love the shot of them driving up to the place, like where it's upside down and then it goes right back up. That shot, the whole cinematography of this movie was dope. But it was just from there, that's when I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And I don't know if, Ken, if you thought that afterwards, but I was just like, I felt like they were bringing up intensity, but then those moments didn't automatically, or they didn't really fully pay off. And then as the movie kept going on, I was wondering, like, why are they leaning into this? And what message am I supposed to be getting out of this movie? Like,
well, let me ask you this first. What which intensities did you think that didn't pay off?
Well, as far as I'm thinking, I was going to see more horror, more confrontation and stuff like that. Like, especially when there's certain scenes where, like, characters just get taken off. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, like, I was expecting to see that get played out.
Instead of what turned out to be like a
off-camera
paganist ritual.
Yeah, like it was like a lot of off-camera stuff. Like once those old people start falling off the cliff, like I thought, I was like, okay, this is where we go.
That was one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah, like that. I was like, this is where we gonna get to the shit. And then it just kind of just went off into a story detailing like how, you know, in and out she is about this whole trip and how her boyfriend is really an asshole. And it was just going back to that storyline. I'm like, I don't really care about that at this point. I want to hear more about this weird shit. And they did reveal.
That was, so I have heard people complain about that and people will be like, this isn't really a horror movie. Where I disagree 100%. It's definitely a horror movie. I think that it's one of those kind of movies where it's really focused on the psychological aspect of the girl, of Pew. I can't remember her name in the movie. The fuck is her name? I can't remember her name in the movie. But it's more focused on her. The movie is really about her and her relationship, how she deals with trauma. It's not really about the friends that are surrounding them. It's not really about, like, oh, them getting killed and why are they getting killed. And I want to see them getting their heads bashed.
Danny.
Yeah. That's not really what the movie's about. You know, I think that the trailers may have been a little bit misleading, but I feel like did you see Hereditary?
No, not yet. That's my second one.
I feel like if you've seen Hereditary, you kind of will get an idea of how this dude directs and how he makes films. I wasn't expecting it to be, you know, gory or a whole bunch of, like, here come some monsters. Because, like, I know a lot of people were pissed off because of the deformed girl.
Yeah, you don't show her. I thought she was going to play a bigger role. It was more of like I felt like she just popped in and out randomly.
Well, that was the point. Like, she wasn't supposed to be a monster. Like, I think people were expecting, when they saw her, they were expecting her to just be running around, chopping people's heads off and eating people. Mm-hmm. But it was like, no, that's just to show that the people in Harga, they're kind of into incest. Mm-hmm. And this is just a product of incest. But they treat her as an oracle, meaning that they really respect her. So it was supposed to just show, like, these people aren't just savages out here just killing random people and being mean to whoever. It was just to show, like, okay, they don't really cohabitate with people outside of their culture. They fuck each other. Mm-hmm. And that's how they keep their group going. But occasionally, there's a fuck up.
Because this ritual happens every 90 years. Right. So this is like an outlier. Maybe not to their society, but just like, they don't do this often.
No, yeah. It,
like,
happens
it's almost
every 90
damn
years.
Damn near a century has to go by for this ritual to happen.
Right.
But when you mentioned as far as them just staying in, they don't really interact with other cultures. Then how the guy who they met up with, who mm-hmm. took him to his home, that's where he's from. Mm-hmm. How is he able to, like, leave and come back? It's his job to recruit,
yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, that's how they got the other people too. Remember the
London people. Yeah. Mm-hmm,
that's how they get them. They send out, it's almost like not Quakers. Who are the motherfuckers that live out in the fucking the country and don't do electricity and shit?
Pilgrims?
Not pilgrims.
Not the Mormons. I know who you're talking about.
Amish.
Amish.
Yes. Yeah.
So they, like, they have this thing where their children will go out and experience the quote unquote real world before they come back and get acclimated into that world as an adult. They'll give them the options, like, okay, go out and see if you want to live like the regular people or whatever before you commit to doing this. Mm. It's kind of almost like they're sending these kids out to bring back people just for this 90-year celebration. Just for that 90-year thing, they bring people back. It's not like they're doing this every fucking couple of years.
But is their intent to kill?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. The way they killed these motherfuckers, like,
they're all
skinning them alive? Yeah, like, that shit was crazy.
They're all sacrifices. So I'm sure neither one of you have seen the movie Wicker Man, but that's easily in my top five. I don't know where I would put it, but it's one of my favorite all-time horror movies. But there's not a single drop of gore in the whole movie. But it's basically the same idea, where it's a pagan island that tricks this cop into coming to the island, and he ultimately ends up being a sacrifice. That's the same thing that's going on in this movie. Mm-hmm. They're just bringing these people to this place to be a sacrifice for this 90-year celebration.
And I was getting that as they were, like, because at first they were against the guys doing research on their culture. But then if they realize, like, bro, we're going to kill these motherfuckers anyway. Right. Let them think that we're allowing them to take all this stuff back. Or
right. Right. They were always going to kill them. Mm-hmm. And I think that that kind of missed some people. They're like, oh, why did they just end up flipping out and killing? No, they didn't flip out and end up killing them. They were going to kill them the whole time.
Yeah. I was just getting the drug aspects of this film.
That was dope.
That was dope. And it was funny, too, like, especially towards the end with Christian, where he was the only one left. And then, like, he was, like, feeling that because he took that last shot of whatever juice that they was serving and shit. And then he was just like, what's going on? He saw that one dude, and the dude just clapped in his face. He was like, he got sad. Like, why would you do that? I thought that was like, that was just like, this. I don't understand. I was just like, why are y'all taking all this shit? Y'all know these motherfuckers. Y'all just taking all these drugs and obviously it's warping y'all mind and like.
Well, I don't think he knew he was taking drugs at that point. I think he thought
because I thought he turned.
He didn't
want
to drink it, but he was forced to. Right. Yeah, so he had no choice.
Well, no, he had a choice.
He could have spilled it on the ground. I think.
Yeah, I don't think they because they weren't going to kill him like at that. They didn't say if you don't drink it, we'll kill you.
Because they still needed his sperm.
They pretty much forced him to drink it though, right?
Which part are we talking about? When he was at the table,
the
when they were at the big long table.
Yeah, that was before. That was after that. When they were
sitting
on the grass.
I'm getting him because then she drunk something too, right?
Yeah.
When she went, they were doing the whole dance thing.
Yes.
Okay. Danny drank something,
but they didn't force her to drink that either.
It felt like they did. Okay.
They were just like, no, just take it. I mean, it wasn't like forcing, but it was like coercing.
Yeah, gotcha. They had her take it so she could be a part of the dance because everybody was drinking in that dance.
But he was drinking weird shit the whole time.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure if you picked up on that he was drinking period blood.
Yeah, well, yeah, that shit.
No.
Because remember the scene where they're going against those cloths and they basically explain the whole scene.
And I was
going to
tell you that.
Yeah.
I assumed you didn't catch that part.
No, when you watch
the movie, basically right when they get there, it's around the time where they're like, is that a bear? There's like a bear in a fucking cage.
Yeah.
They show this blanket that's hanging and there's these drawings on the blanket.
Yeah. They show the whole process
of what's going to happen. Like, the entire movie is played out in about 30 seconds on this cloth.
Yeah.
But if you watch the movie and you pay attention, when they're drinking stuff at that table, his drink looks different than everybody else's. Mm-hmm. His is slightly red. And if you remember, when he drinks it, he pulls out a hair.
I do remember that.
That's because the girl that he ends up fucking at the very end, she was putting period blood in his drink. And that's why I wanted Rod to go see it. Because remember y'all were telling me about how that's the spaghetti, yeah. And I didn't know what the fuck y'all were talking about. That is part of this movie. Like, the whole thing is like a ritual of the girl putting period blood in the person that she's interested in's drink. And that's what she was doing to Christian the whole time.
Oh, man.
His drink is always...
Because everybody else had like mango fruit punch or whatever.
Yeah, their shit was almost clear.
Yeah, he had like passion fruit. Like,
right.
This shit was
right.
red as
it
hell.
It was like dragon fruit.
Yeah. Damn. And he pulled it out. They was like, is that pubes?
Right. And the thing about it is,
he just shrug it off.
If you go to a party and you drink something, that's not going to be the first thing someone says, is that a pube?
Right.
But they, of course, they purposely said that so you would connect it to, earlier we see on the fucking, the blanket, that there's a girl, I think she's like standing above a cup or something.
Yeah, she's cutting her vagina and everything.
And there's blood going into the cup.
Yep, I remember that scene now, but I did not put the two together.
Yeah, that shit was just...
With Ari Aster's movies, I feel like, because I mean, when I went and saw Hereditary, I had to go and look up, oh my God, now I'm forgetting what the
I think
God's
that was the other
was.
One that was on sale that I bought.
That movie's fucking amazing. But I had to look up who the god was at the end of the movie that they started talking about. I had never heard the name before, so I had to go look it up. And then once you look it up, the rest of the movie makes sense. Mm. With this movie, it's like he's referencing pagan rituals, but he's making it to where unless you go look that shit up, you may not connect everything. So once I saw it the first time, I had to go look up this stuff and be like, okay, now I see what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. But what part were you confused about certain?
Well, there were certain parts where I was like, you didn't have to draw this out. Like the whole dancing ritual thing, I think that was longer than it needed to be. I kind of knew that she was going to win based on how, like, because the dude that recruited her, well, he recruited the guys, but when she came on a trip, he was like very excited about her. And I was like, all right, something special about her, something's going to happen to her that's different from the rest of the crew.
But they're trying to make you feel like you're there.
Yes.
And I think that's why they do certain things. That's why certain things are filmed a certain way. that scene was drawn out for so long because they kind of want, it almost felt like they wanted the audience to be exhausted as well.
Yes.
Like you're watching, you're just like, all right, damn, it's been like 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. One more person fell. All right, cool. Well, at what point is Danny going to win? But I think if it was shortened, it wouldn't have been as impactful to me personally.
I was ready to see like, what is this all leading up to? Because at this point, the movie's going on for a while now. And in between that, I'm getting pulled in and also pulled out because they pull me in with some intense scenes. Like when, what's his name? Josh, when he snuck out and, you know, went into the tent that he wasn't supposed to go to and started taking pictures.
Oh, yeah.
And then like you see his other friend, but it was his skin. And then they knock him out. And it was just like, all right, where are we going? Like, and then all of a sudden we just cut to something. Like, it was just like, I want to see more of the crazy shit instead of the ritual shit. Because the ritual shit was like, all right, this is weird. But like, where is this? Some shit is really going down in here.
But the ritual is what was going down.
Yeah.
Like right. Them burning them up in that tent, burning them alive. And they sacrificed themselves.
Which I thought was hilarious because dude was just sitting there looking at him all happy. Then he started screaming. I'm like, nigga, you didn't realize you burning yourself. Like,
yeah.
And that was great.
Yeah, that was great. But the cliff and them going up to the cliff and then they got hit up. Wait, did they walk? Yeah, because it was one that was still alive.
Because he jumped stupid.
Dumbass.
So he's screaming like, ah!
Right. And he just broke his legs and he's just sitting there. So they had to bash his head in. I was like, God damn.
I like how the London black dude was like, this shit is fucked up.
Yeah.
Y'all fucked up. I'm out of here.
The one brother was like, bro, why the fuck am I here? I'm getting the hell on.
And then he tried to leave. And
like
then
look what happened.
His girl was like, where he at? Like, oh, yeah, it was a two-seater. Like, come on, man. You already know. Like, shit is not like that.
I think what I liked about it the most is that everything was in daylight.
Yes.
Yes.
It's the brightest horror movie that they were saying it's like one of the brightest horror movies ever made.
Yeah, just the idea of that. Mm-hmm. Like, all of these horrific events are taking place in the middle of the day.
Yep.
And I've never seen anything like that before.
Wicker Man's like that.
Okay, I haven't seen that. I have to watch that.
Yeah, it's like everything is happening in broad daylight. And for some reason, it makes it even more, like, unnerving.
Yes.
Like, y'all are doing this shit out in the fucking open in broad daylight. We're used to shit being in the dark. Mm-hmm. This is not like that.
Yep.
But no, I mean, I love the movie. I could definitely see why someone would watch that and be like, this is fucking stupid.
All my friends said. It was like, don't you dare bring this type of bullshit back. I'm like, bro, you got to open your mind to certain things. Like, just because it was on a lot of film critics, you know, lists. And like, I know you talked about it a lot, Mike. But so when I'm watching it, I'm like, all right, what am I missing? Did it not get to me? Or is it because I felt like I got the full message. It's just.
How many horror movies do you watch?
Not as much as I need to. I probably like watch one or two.
Do you like them enough to watch them?
I like good stories, and usually the ones that I grew up on didn't have. It was more about the gore factor, mm-hmm. not really storyline. So like now, like ever since, I tuned out afterwards. But once I started watching Get Out and then moving forward, I was like, all right, the genre is kind of back now. So I'm interested to see like because most of these films are just not about just killing people. It's like there's a legit good movie. So that's why I was like, this year, let me start seeing more horror. That's why I wanted to start off with Midsommar. And then I'll double back to Hereditary. But yeah, I'm trying to get into it a little bit more because I just want to see, there's certain movies that I'm missing. Like how Rob was talking about, like, he don't really like movies with subtitles. It's like, I'm missing out on a Parasite. I'm missing out on like other things. So let me.
Parasite isn't one, but yeah.
But I mean, like, you tend to, as you get older, you tend to like, I like what I like. It's like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, and I steer more towards horror movies, but as I get older, I like more of the cerebral horror movies I do love just mindless gore. Yeah. I do like that shit, but people like Ari Aster and people like Eggers, like I feel like they're doing stuff in horror that's really, really interesting. And stuff like The Witch, stuff like Lighthouse, which isn't really a horror movie either, but The Witch is. And stuff like Midsommar, I'm gravitated to it because I think it does have a really interesting story. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole story of her dealing with trauma, and that ends up being why she's put up on this pedestal, and she gets to decide like how this entire story ends.
And I did like how she ended up liking it at the end because it made sense because she's lost so much.
She's lost everything.
She lost everything. So what does she have to go back to?
Exactly.
Nothing.
Exactly. And her parents are dead. Her sister is dead. Her boyfriend is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
She sees him fucking some other girl.
So why would she care about
that? Like, and then she, I don't know, man. It was just, I think she killed her role. Like, she was extremely convincing with what she did,
mm-hmm.
especially when it fucking ended. I was just like, God damn. I mean, I knew how it was going to end. I knew it was going to be her.
Yeah.
But, well, I take that back. When I first watched it, I thought that they were going to end up sacrificing her, too.
Yeah.
Because that's the way Wicker
Man is. Yeah, I thought May Queen was going to be like, that's the ultimate sacrifice.
Right. That's what I thought, too. Yeah. But then when it ended up being like, no, you get to decide. And it ends up being like, okay, yeah, this motherfucker that's my quote-unquote boyfriend that's stuffed inside of a hollowed-out bear. Yeah, let him go fucking burn. I don't care.
And that drug that that dust they blew on him where he was paralyzed, but he could still see it. I'm like, bro, that's my nightmare.
Me too.
Like, they put him in that nasty ass bear suit.
When they were hollowing out the bear, I was just like, damn, this is. But if again, it shows that on
on the blanket.
On the blanket. That blanket shows everything.
Yeah, that and then he just burned
and can't do anything.
He can do shit.
Man.
That shit is just like, man, that's so.
This movie is so fucking good, man. I don't know. I mean, again, I understand.
I have my gripes with it. I think it was just more of like, I'm more of cut to the chase to a certain extent. Like, I'll let certain scenes breathe, but I feel like they let a lot of scenes breathe longer than need to. Because I'm thinking that when you let a scene breathe, it's important for what they're setting up. And it was just more about just explaining what, like Mike was saying, like the experience and the ritual aspect of it.
See, I feel like if it wasn't a slow burn film, I feel like if they cut a bunch of that shit out, by the time it got to the end, we would have really questioned, okay, why Danny? Why did they keep her? Why did they make her the make or whatever it was? Why are they choosing her? But because they let it breathe and they showed that she was always feeling isolated, she didn't really feel connected to Christian.
Mm-hmm.
She realized, really, even before she saw him fucking or whatever, she realized about halfway through the film that he was a fucking asshole.
Because he forgot her birthday.
He forgot her birthday.
The nigga that she just met a week ago was like,
right,
giving her nice gifts and shit. He gave her this fluky ass candle with a cake in it.
And she knew immediately. She was like, yeah, you're full of shit. And then she said, I forget what it was now. She made some snide ass comment towards him later on. Like, oh. When she found out that those two people from London had left, she looked at him and she said, that sounds like some shit that you would do.
Mm.
And he was like, what? What do you mean? She was like, forget it. Don't worry about it. You knew then, she was really accepting, like, I'm alone here. Mm-hmm. But everybody else here at Harga is treating me like they actually give a fuck about me. So I feel like if they had skipped a lot of that, it really wouldn't have made a lot of sense at the end.
Even though he was set up, though, to be caught. Fucking
of course. Yeah. Well, not really, because remember, they tried to stop her. Because remember, when he was in there fucking, she was like, what's going on over there? They're like, no, don't worry about it.
Yes,
come over this way. And she was like, no. And she ran over there.
But he never wanted to do any of that stuff anyway.
Well, at that point in time, he kind of allowed it.
I thought he was drugged.
Yeah, he was drugged. Yeah. And plus, he'd been drinking period blood for the past couple of days. You're right. He didn't really want to do it. But
it don't take away from the fact that he was a piece of shit.
That was one of my questions as far as him getting that girl pregnant or him, like, all that. Was that the incest stuff?
No, so that wouldn't have been incest.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, was he related to her somehow, somewhere? Selected those people and all that?
No, I think what it is every 90 years they bring these people in. They're all going to be sacrifices, of course, but if there's one that one of the Harga natives feels some sort of connection to, then that's when they start dropping the period blood and all that shit. And then they end up mating with them. And because they don't want everybody to end up looking like that fucked up Oracle person. Mm-hmm. You know, they want things to kind of look semi-normal, you know, because if they bring people there and everyone looks like the Oracle, they're going to be like, what the fuck, I'm out.
I'm out of this.
Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, I mean, I don't think they definitely weren't related in any way. Not that I saw. I mean, no, it was just she saw the guy and she was like, okay, that's the one. I pick him. I want to period blood drug him.
Damn. Yeah. Because I was wondering, like, because there was another girl who liked the other guy, but she ended up killing him. Like, she didn't even end up.
What other guy?
The guy that
was peeing on the branch?
Yeah, him.
Well, I don't think she ever really liked him. I think that was just, I think they were going to kill him regardless.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because he peed on the branch.
Because he peed on the branch.
Because dude was staring at him while they was eating.
He was going to gas. He was like, motherfucker, say something. He's like, man, dude, you staring at me. I'm on the fence whether or not she had any sort of interest in him. I'm more leaning towards she was just using that as a way to lure him away so she could kill him.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Yeah, this movie was.
What your boys say?
Oh, yeah, they hated it. But I expect that from them. Because, like, for them, well, for one of them, he doesn't like Willie. He don't like horror movies like that. But he was giving it a chance. And Suave, he actually was about to watch Hereditary. But I was like, hold on, watch this with me first because I already had it. And I was like, it's the same people that made it. So if you like this, then, yeah, you should be able to watch that.
Hereditary is a bit easier to follow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and yeah. It's not. Once you're done, well, I can't tell you. Yeah, never mind.
But I still want to see Hereditary. But like they were like, yeah, they is on them out. Like, cause they couldn't follow. It's not a, if you're not into, to me, it's like if you're not really into this genre like that, you're not gonna let things go and just fall into the story. Like you're expecting, if I say a horror movie, the people have different expectations of horror movies.
Right. Yeah,
so like when the way it played out, I was like, what the fuck is going on?
I think Hereditary is closer to a horror movie than this, like a traditional horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like once it's over, well, I guess I can say this. This isn't like there's when you hear the name Pyman, you have to like, I kind of feel like if I had known what that was when I walked into the movie, it would have made a lot more sense the first time I saw it. I had to look that up later on. And then when I watched it again, I was like, oh, now I get it. But that's kind of what this guy does. He just kind of,
he takes random things and makes a move, like he expands upon it.
What he's doing is he's kind of taking these pagan ideas or pagan rituals or whatever, and he's inserting them into films, but they're pagan ideas and rituals that are not commonplace. So when you're watching the movie, you're just like, what the fuck is happening? But then when you go and look it up later on and you're like, what does this name that they said actually mean? And then when they explain it, you're like, oh, so that's why this happened. That's why this happened. That's why this happened. He makes movies that you have to watch more than once. You can't just watch it one time and be like, that shouldn't make any sense. I'm out.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I don't typically like watching movies.
A lot of people hate that. Yeah.
But with these, because there's so many things that I don't know and so many things that I missed, I will come back and rewatch it again to try to pick it up or plug in those.
And was that your first reaction after finishing it the first time? Like, I got to watch it again, and I need more information.
Yeah, I knew, like, so when, I guess the way I rate a movie is whether or not I would buy it. So after I finished, I was like, this is something that I would definitely like to have in my collection. There was a lot of mystery there. There were definitely a lot of things that I missed that I need to go back and watch. Obviously, like, the shit on the wall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I totally missed that in the period blood. So I haven't had a chance to rewatch it since I bought it. But yeah, that was kind of the feeling, like, I was like, okay, I probably won't come back to the theater to see it, but if I get a chance to buy it, then I'll definitely buy it and get a chance to and watch it. Because I actually want my wife to sit down and watch it. Because I think she would.
Man.
Because it's not funny. Really scary.
It's not scary.
It's not scary.
No. Yeah, and she don't really fuck with scary. The only way she fuck with scary movies is if she watch it with me.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something I think that she probably won't like it, but.
It's not scary.
It's not scary enough to frighten her. So.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to anything this dude does.
Does he have another film coming out soon?
I'm sure he does. If he does, wait, actually, yeah, he does have something else coming out, but I can't remember what it is.
It's not Saint Maud, is it?
No, that's not him. But that's the kind of direction that I like horror to go in, where it's these weird, creepy thinking movies. But I think that he did announce something, but I can't remember what it is. Part of me is wanting to say it's a remake, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, and I'm not there with Mike on that level, but horror is my second favorite genre after sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just sit up there and just watch anything, watch it all day if I ain't got shit else to watch. Because I watch a lot of that shit on Netflix. But
I watch a lot of slow burn horror.
Mm.
Like that's, at this point, that's probably up there with like my favorite type of horror movies.
Yeah.
And, you know, which is now one of my all-time favorite horror movies, mm-hmm. period. And it seems like ever since that came out, people have started to pay more attention to that type mm-hmm. of movie.
Mm-hmm.
There was a film called Hagazusa that came out technically came out like 2 years ago, but it got released in America last year, and that's another slow. You'll hate it. Don't watch it. You'll absolutely fucking hate it. But I like being drawn into that weird world, and then when it's over, being like, "Yo, I need to watch this again because I have no idea what the fuck just happened."
So you're like an explorer. Like you just like to. It sounds like you like the experience of figuring out something you didn't know before.
If it's made well.
Yeah.
If it's some bullshit, like if fucking Lindelof decides to go make a horror movie, I'm not going to be like, oh, I got to see it because I want to figure it out. Because I know that Lindelof just makes shit, doesn't really put any thought into how it ends or if there's any sort of logic behind anything. But I like how people are taking these rituals that we in America would find bizarre and putting them in horror movies and being like, if you want to know more, you have to go and Google this shit and figure it out. And then the movie will make sense to you.
My friends, their main takeaway was like, I ain't fucking with Sweden for a minute.
That's a lot of people. Like, that's why ASAP Rocky was over there fucking around. Now look what happened. Now we got these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I told my wife after that, I watched Salo. Did I say that right? Salo. Yeah, I was like, this is why I don't go overseas. This is why I ain't fucking with this shit.
Man.
Because we were sitting there watching that shit. I was like, this is the exact reason why. So go over there and get all kind of fucked up.
That's one of my favorite films. That's another film I would never recommend to anyone.
It's hard for, again, like, and I like talking about this, so I guess it's only you guys I can really talk to, but it's like, when I watch something like this, I'm like, I already know 90% of my friends probably will never even want to watch this, let alone break it down and, you know, have an in-depth thought about or a conversation about it. But yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's bad. I just know...
You don't want to see it again.
That's I probably won't ever see it again, but it was well done. Like, at the end of the day, it was a well done film, and the concept is actually kind of dope. I just wish it leaned a little bit more into the horror, because I was expecting more horror than I got.
But it's like,
I got you.
Like, we grew up watching Friday the 13th, Jason, all these killing movies, these hacky gory type of movies, and it's like, I don't know, man. It's like, I don't have interest, and I think Saul did it for me.
Yeah, Saul fucked it up.
And I was like, man, I don't know if I'll watch it because I just like the genre anyway, but it's like, give me something else. I haven't gotten to the cerebral point that Mike's at, and I don't know what they could do differently. I guess we're kind of seeing that now, and I don't really go exploring that type of stuff, but I do know that I am tired of the movies like Slasher and shit like that, where you're just going to kill people, you know, because we've damn near seen it all.
There's a whole world of movies out there right now that are doing the exact opposite of that kind of shit. Where it might still be gory, but there's going to be a whole lot of weird-ass shit around it.
Yeah.
Like Bliss. There's a movie called Raw that's really good. It's just weird shit, but I think they all have a purpose. Like, I definitely think Midsommar has a purpose. It's just a matter of if you enjoy the movie enough to go bother to research what the actual purpose is. But again, if somebody's like, I hated this movie, I would never be like, man, what the fuck are you talking about? Are you crazy?
When they were saying they hated it, I was like, I could see why.
Yeah, I'd be like, all
right. But I still want, because halfway through the movie, they was like, bro, cut this shit off.
That's what I was going to ask. Anybody walk out?
It was a bunch of us, and it was, I didn't expect those people to come through, but we just had people over, and we was just watching it. And one of them was like, they was into it at first after like the intro and stuff. And then once the people started falling, they was into it. But then after that, one girl fell asleep. The other one was like, one walked out, and my other friend was like trying to turn it off. We had to take the remote from him. I was just like, all right, bro. I was like, for me, if I'm putting on a movie, I'm gonna watch it through and through. Let me see the whole thing before I say what I, you know, because I'm expecting, like, sometimes the ending may be the whole point of just getting through all that, which the ending kind of was. Like, I thought the ending was kind of dope. And especially, I do like endings where the hero turns or whatever, or just accepts it. Like, I like those. Yeah. So, yeah, I just wanted to talk to y'all. I'll try to go see Saint Maud, because
I'm definitely seeing Saint Maud.
I saw the trailer for that, man. That shit looked crazy.
Yes, I'm ready.
I haven't seen the trailer yet.
It looks fucking dope.
It looks crazy.
If it's a horror movie, I'll go see it, even if I think it's going to be bad.
Yeah, on FPS Podcast on Reddit, let us know what horror films you guys are seeing, or what did you guys think about Midsommar. Let us know what we missed out on, and yeah, we'll be checking on y'all recommendations for this whole year. So hit us up, and that's us for this week. We out. Peace.